When mom first got sick and had to go into the hospital, my sisters and I knew that she would need help carrying out some of the day-to-day things of life. So we divided those things among us, and I helped her with her bills. We sure weren't going to trust that to Ginger. And that itself went in several stages. At first, I was just the mailer. She would fill them out, and I would stuff them and stamp them and make sure they got where they were going on time. And then it got to the stage where I would write out the check, and she would sign it, and then I would mail it, and ultimately, I wrote them out, and I signed them. And I was looking back after she died at her bank statements, and it caught my attention that the very last check that she, with her own hand, wrote out and signed was to the Kleinwood Church of Christ. And I thought that was a fitting commentary for her life. And I thought you would be encouraged to know that. Thank you for the wonderful weekend. Thanks to Adam Wooster, who did a marvelous job organizing it, and to all the men who came as we sought to be like Apollos and be called mighty in the Scriptures. I want to begin in the Scriptures this morning in 1 Kings chapter 4, and I'd like for you to open your Bible and follow with me as we read from the Word of God together. 1 Kings chapter 4, I want to start reading at verse 29. 1 Kings 4, verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Haman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Sometimes we think about Judah and Israel and the land of Palestine as being in their own little bubble. And they existed apart from the rest of the ancient world. And they neither had influence nor were influenced by surrounding nations. But this passage tells us that the wisdom of Solomon knew no boundaries. He was known far and wide. People came because they had heard of his wisdom. You think of the Queen of Sheba, who saved up all of her difficult questions, and she came and tested Solomon. And she said, "The half hasn't even been told." Solomon's wisdom was from God. You remember, God said, "Ask what you wish, and I will give it to you." When Morgan was younger, we were doing her Bible lesson for class and talked about this verse. And I said, "Morgan, what would you wish for if God said that?" And she said, "Real makeup." And that's what she wanted. And when she's 30, she can have it. But for now, Solomon said, "I want wisdom. I want to be able to judge the people, to have discernment, to know how to lead." And of course, God gave him wisdom like the sand of the seashore. Among all of the Proverbs, 3,000 that he spoke. I want to talk about one this morning that if you saw the title for our lesson, you've already identified. It's going to come from Proverbs chapter 31. The last 22 verses are dedicated to what we sometimes call the worthy woman, the excellent wife, the wife of noble character, it is also translated. But did you know that in these same 22 verses, not only is the worthy woman described and identified for us, but there are three verses in this passage that talk about what I've chosen to call the worthy man. We've been discussing this weekend about being men of God, mighty in the Scriptures, to act like men. Well, wouldn't you want to be called the worthy man? Let's see where he gets these qualities from Proverbs chapter 31. The text begins in verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The thought being that if you were to search all the earth and find the most precious jewels, the most valuable gems, her worth would be greater than your find. And here's one of the reasons. Verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. The heart of the worthy woman safely trusts in her. He has full confidence in her. The word that is used here, trust, is also translated secure. That's how he feels about the woman he has chosen. His heart trusts in her, and as a result, he doesn't need to worry about her. He doesn't feel the need to go and search for riches and to have spoil in other places, because he knows that his wife is taking care of things. And he doesn't worry about how she acts when he's away. And he doesn't fret about whether she's going to be faithful to him. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He has confidence in her. Man got a call from the credit card company. And they said, we believe your card has been stolen. And he got on, and he, sure enough, he saw all these charges. And he said, no, we didn't make any of those purchases. And the man said, well, do you want us to cancel your card? And he said, no, it's okay. He said, the thieves are spending less than my wife usually does. Not so with the worthy man. His heart trusts in her. I want you to see, first of all, that the worthy man is a one-woman man. Because his whole heart is devoted to his worthy woman. Does that just mean he's married? He's not single anymore. He's off the market. No, he didn't just choose a woman. He chose to be devoted to a worthy woman. Sometimes we read the qualifications of the elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we read that they need to be the husband of one wife. And so the first thing we do is we go through the directory and we say, well, let's pick all the married men. Is the passage just simply mean that they're not single? I suppose you could say that King Ahab was a one-woman man. But who did he choose? Jezebel. who incited him against the God of Israel. When it says that the elders and deacons are to be husbands of one wife, that literally means the man of one woman. And like the worthy man, his heart trusts in her. What do we say in the marriage ceremony? Do you promise to give yourself to her and to her only? Question. If the marriage relationship, that of the husband and the wife, is used as an illustration in Ephesians 5 of Jesus and his bride, how many brides does Jesus have? He is devoted to one bride. The worthy man is a one-woman man. Now, in the world today, a man is a womanizer. He's not satisfied with just one. He's kind of like the guy that sometimes you're talking to in the foyer, that you're shaking his hand and you're looking him in the eye, but he's scouring it. Who else can I talk to? Who else is here that's more important than this conversation? Well, that's how the world views a man. He conquers one, and then he's on to the next one. Solomon said the worthy man trusts in his wife. He is a one-woman man. Ladies, is that the kind of man you want in your marriage? Young ladies, is that the kind of man that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Did you know there's one woman called by name to be a worthy woman in all of Scripture? It's in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, when Boaz says to Ruth, "All the men of the city know that you're a worthy woman." And you know what she did? She chose Boaz. Why would she do that? Because he was a worthy man, a one-woman man. The second verse in Proverbs 31 that speaks of the husband of this excellent wife is in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Remember that the city gates were the place of business in the ancient world. And it is where the elders of the city would sit. If you had some issue or problem that needed to be worked out, that's where you would go to find them. But notice that the husband of this worthy woman is respected in the gates. He's known. People know him. And he sits among the elders of the land. And so the worthy man, number two, has a worthy name. He is a man of good reputation. He has a worthy name. A man's reputation is that which always precedes him. It goes before him. That's why Solomon would also say in Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. We live in a time where things like integrity, character, moral uprightness are not as respected as they once were. In fact, if you want to be successful, you're tempted to abandon those. But not so the men of God. If we want to be worthy in His sight, we are going to be those who have a worthy name, who devote ourselves to the things of import from His Scriptures. Do you remember when King Solomon first took the throne? And Adonijah was a rival. He wanted to be king of Israel. And when he finally realized, no, it's going to be Solomon, Adonijah feared for his life. And so he ran and grabbed hold of the altar, thinking, nobody will kill me if I'm in this sacred place. And Solomon sent word throughout the kingdom, tell Adonijah he does not need to fear being assassinated. If, he said, if he is a worthy man. 1 Kings 1, verses 49 through 53. A worthy man. Well, how would that be known? By his deeds. By the way he conducted himself. By the way he lived his life. A worthy man has a worthy name. There is some dispute in this chapter where it says that these are the words of King Lemuel. And it's thought by many that that name is a pseudonym for Solomon. And here's why. The name Lemuel means for God or devoted to God. Solomon's name, Jedidiah, means beloved of the Lord. Can you think of a better reputation than being beloved of the Lord, chosen by God, belonging to Him? That's a worthy man. Ladies, is that the kind of man you want to devote yourself to? Then be the kind of woman a worthy man will be attracted to. A worthy man carries with him a worthy name. And the third verse is in verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. Well, where did they learn that from? How did they know to do that? Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I continue to be amazed at the kind of things that married people will say, either about marriage itself, or even worse, about their spouse. And I'm certain you've heard some of those things. And the question I always want to ask is, well, why did you marry him then? If they got all this stuff wrong with them, why'd you marry him? And the follow-up is, well, they weren't that way when I married him. To which I say, well, what's that say about you? Maybe that's where the problem is. But are we speaking about marriage, this divine institution, that which the Hebrew writer says should be held in honor among all? Are we speaking about it in such a way that those who are not married would want to pursue marriage? Are we like one widower who was asked, are you going to remarry someday? And their response was, I just got out of prison. Why would I want to go back in? Is the way we talk about marriage going to encourage those who are not married to want to be a part of this divine blessing? For the worthy man, I want you to see number three. He's a family man. And he's not ashamed to be a family man. He is not like the man that is portrayed in most of the television shows, who's either an absentee father, who pursues things at work or his hobbies over his family, or is so incompetent that the wife is the one who has to lead the home. The wife's the one who has to be in charge and carry out the things God's given him to do. The worthy man seeks to be a family man. He rises up and praises her. Not complains, not insults. He praises her. He has a worthy woman for a wife, and he wants everybody to know about it. Man decided that he was going to give himself and devote himself to become a monk. And when he got there, they said, well, the first thing you need to know is there'll be a 5-year vow of silence before you can say anything. And so at the end of 5 years, they said, okay, we're going to give you 2 words to say. And he said, cold food. And they said, okay, well, we'll take care of that. 5 more years. At the end of that 5 years, they said, do you have 2 more words? And he said, hard bed. They said, well, we'll take care of that. And then at the end of the next 5 years, they said, you can say 2 more words. And he said, it's over. I'm finished. I can't do this 1 more day. And they said, well, that's probably a good thing. All you've done is complain the whole time you've been here. Is the only thing that our spouse hears from us complaining? Not so the worthy man. He rises up and blesses her with these words. He praises her. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You're worth more than all the treasures of the earth. You know, Joshua was a busy man. He was the military general of the army of the living God. He was the spiritual leader of Israel as the successor of Moses. But do you know what he said? As they were going to enter the land, as they were going to now be divided and live throughout this land of promise that God had given them, choose for yourselves whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The worthy man is a family man. He takes to heart what Paul said about a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And what he said to fathers who are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's his responsibility. And he wants to be mighty in these scriptures. Worthy man is a family man. The wisdom of Solomon continues to surpass the wisdom of the world in our day. The worthy man is not worthy because of how far he can hit a golf ball. He's not worthy because of how high he is ascended in his company. The worthy man is worthy because he devotes himself to the things God said are important. Single devotion to his wife. Wearing the name of Jesus Christ in a worthy way. And giving himself in service to his most important role on the earth, leading his family. That's the worthy man. And it was my privilege this weekend to be in the company of many. What makes you worthy in the sight of God? He determines that too, you know. It's going to require a single devotion. Our God is jealous. He tolerates no rivals. You're going to have to give yourself to Him and to Him only. It's going to require wearing His name. Being baptized into Jesus Christ, a death of the old man and the resurrection of the new. It's going to require seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Would you be found worthy in His sight this morning? Our song would encourage you to come and give your life to Him, or to make some restitution or repentance, or if you need encouragement from your family in Jesus Christ, you can let it be known right now while we stand up.
Thank you, Jesus.